Thank you for watching this sermon recorded at Holy Innocents Episcopal Church during one of our principal services. The sermon is based on the lectionary readings for this Sunday. To stay connected to Holy Innocents, friend us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or check out our website. Thanks for listening, and stay connected.
I love you. How many times have we longed to hear those words? How many times have we wished to say those words, yet we're unsure of how they might land? How many times have we wondered how to gently let someone down who has said them to us because they weren't the person from whom we wanted to hear those words? These are among the three most uplifting and constructive words in our language, in any language, if not the most powerful. The right words can transform our reality. The positive word love can alter the expression of genes, strengthening areas in our frontal lobes and promoting the brain's cognitive functioning. They propel the motivational centers of the brain into action, according to scientists. They build resiliency. Research shows that the longer one concentrates on the positive words, the more we begin to affect other areas of our brains. Functions in the front of our brains start to change, thereby changing our perceptions of ourselves and those with whom we interact. If I have a positive self-image, it will bias me towards seeing the good in others. The other three words that I can think may rival these are, I hate you. As Martin Luther King Jr. said, I have decided to stick with love. Hate is too great a burden to bear. And as we know, hate is often born by fear. In fact, a single negative word such as hate can increase the activity in the fear center in our brains, and it interrupts the functioning of our brains. And if I have a negative self-image, then I will be predisposed towards suspicion and doubt. In a handful of days, we have seen Jesus treated like an honored friend, even royalty, and then mistreated and executed like a hated enemy. This quick turn of events born out of fear, insecurity, and hatred, among other things. Yet, Jesus' submission to his role was born of a deep and abiding love. How thin the line, how delicate the balance between love and hate. In the name of love, wars have been waged, navies have been launched, creating great destruction. That's not love. That's something that has given love a bad name. In the name of love, lives have been offered up. That's why we are here today. Those who were compelled to see Jesus die were concerned about their place in the order of things. They were also concerned that his followers were becoming a movement that might overthrow the ruling class. No one likes being displaced, especially by the carpenter's kid from Nazareth. This is especially true because Jesus was different. Those on the fringes of society were honored guests in his midst. He encountered those shunned by others and embraced them, offering them food, healing. Oh, and yes, love. In fact, that love he offered to all. Jesus was the master of inversion. So yes, Jesus turned hate into love. When we look at a crucifix or even a cross, it is difficult to push the thoughts of the gruesome death that Jesus endured for us out of our minds, especially on a day designed to bring that into our consciousness. Isn't it interesting that the act that embodies the truest and purest of love came about as a consequence of hatred and fear? And despite the challenges, sorrow, pain, and suffering that Jesus endured on his way to hanging on that cross, the expression of love is not lost in that complicated mix. And he said, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you." So you must love one another. Think about your relationships with those whom you love. When do you know that you are loved? Yes, hearing "I love you" is a great clue. And as I said, studies show that it changes our brains. But words alone can't even convey the depths that loving and being loved engender. I've been able to recognize the deepest love when I have found myself in my greatest despair. When my life has been turned sideways and upside down, and my behavior is directly proportional to my unsettledness. Yet the people who love me have been the ones to bring me back to my normal. And they're willing to do it, despite the challenge that I may present. That I recognize as love. Jesus also said, "No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." I imagine that most of us can think of that person or those people for whom we will do that. And we can think of those who will do that for us as well. I believe that in our deepest relationships, we fall in love with one another. This isn't reserved to partners. Parents fall in love with their children, and children fall in love with their parents. Think of Jesus hanging from the cross, asking his beloved friend to care for his widowed mother. Friends fall in love with each other. If the rule of thumb is that we will lay down our lives for those people, then I think we've fallen in love. Falling in love is what God has done with us. God the Father fell in love with us. God the Father's creative genius was the first great, "I love you." God embodied that love for and of us. Jesus fell in love with us. The Word made flesh, Christ, placed himself out of love on that cross and gave his life for his friends. There is no greater love. So, we are deeply loved. Can you feel that? Is it palpable? Does it change the way you think of yourself and others and how you relate to them? It is meant to do so, and it should. So today, as we find ourselves in the midst of our high holy days, inching our way to Easter morning, we must ask ourselves how we offer ourselves in love to those around us. No one is asking us to put ourselves on a cross of wood and be nailed to it. But what does laying our lives down for our friends look like to us? It is a giving of ourselves, even in difficult circumstances. That is what God asks of us. It is what God did for us. And yes, it can be painful, and it will be painful. But as Blessed Teresa said, "I have found the paradox that if you love until it hurts, there can be no more hurt, only more love." Our faith teaches us that love begets love. That's why almost 2,000 years after the selfless act represented by the cross, we sit here in Atlanta, Georgia, remembering it. Jesuit Pierre Dehard de Chardin said that love is a sacred reserve of energy. It is like the blood of spiritual evolution. Mahatma Gandhi said, "Where there is love, there is life." Fall in love with God, as God has fallen in love with all of us. in the most real of ways. Our lives will never be the same. Amen.
Amen.